All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube, and as always, presented by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca. Frank Saravalli is living his best life on the beach this week, so it is Tyler Yaremchuk and Colby Cohn with you. Colby, how's it going?
It's going. There was not a lot of games last night, Tyler, but there were certainly some things to talk about from the limited action that we had, so we shall get right to it.
Yeah, let's dig right into it. We are going to be joined by Ken Bulkey from Sin Bin Vegas, one of the sites that started when the Vegas Golden Knights got their franchise. He is always a fun chat. But first, let's talk about a different team in the Western Conference that made some noise around the deadline. It's the Winnipeg Jets, Colby, and they came out and got a 3-0 victory over the Washington Capitals in their first game as, call them the new look Jets, if you will. It was really just Tyler Toffoli's debut, but Connor Hellebuck snapped out of his slump, a perfect 23 for 23. This Jets team is going to be a bigger problem than maybe some people realize. When you look at that roster, Colby, Connor Hellebuck, he can almost single-handedly win you a best-of-seven series, but that blue line's just got a bunch of pricks on it, and that's a good forward group. I thought last night against Washington, they looked like a legit cup contender.
A bunch of pricks. They got to get t-shirts made for the decor that say a bunch of pricks. And look, yeah, I actually am probably one of those people that just doesn't give the Winnipeg Jets enough love, like self-admittedly, because I watched 90% of this game last night. And man, that was a dominant performance by the Winnipeg Jets. And a couple of the things that really stuck out to me, Tyler, were just the way that those pricks defensemen that you mentioned, the way those guys kill plays. I mean, it is difficult to, you know, gather and generate offense on the rush because you've got these big body defensemen and you've got a forward group that back pressures the puck so hard. So these guys are able to hold the blue line. They kill plays almost immediately in the defensive zone because they're so physical and they're so mobile. And then they get the puck up. It's not fancy. It's north-south up to the forwards. They generate on the rush. When they don't score on the rush, their puck recovery really stood out to me last night. Just how relentless their forward group was once they entered the offensive zone. And then it's a five-man offense. Not every team has that five-man mobile group where everybody's involved. And when they're getting saves from Connor Hellebuck, Tyler, like, this is going to be a team that nobody's going to want to see in the first round of the playoffs.
if we could just have their forward lines up again really quick here, that to me, this is going to be, I'm thinking best of seven kind of matchups here. I'm not sure how many teams in the West can go up against a fourth line that's got Namestnikov, Perfetti, Morgan Barron. Like, Namestnikov and Perfetti were top six wingers for this team to start the season. And then you look at just the way Toffoli and Monahan kind of allow everyone to slot down. You think about, you know, tough defensive zone shifts in the playoffs. You're no longer burdening Mark Scheifele with those minutes. All of a sudden, It's Adam Lowry in that third line who you can trust to go out there and eat away at some tough defensive matchups. Go up against the other team's best players and actually probably saw that matchup off when you're on home ice, which gives you, again, this legit top six that all of a sudden has a bunch of shooters in it. Like, the matchup game that they can play, that Rick Bowness and his staff have to their advantage, it's significant.
Yeah, I think Kyle Lowry is one of the most underappreciated. Excuse me, Adam Lowry is one of the most underappreciated. A little basketball reference. Great Toronto Raptor and Philadelphia, actually Villanova Wildcat, my hometown. But I think Adam Lowry is one of the most underappreciated players in the entire league.
Wow. Yeah, Jets are looking good. Like I said earlier, we're going to talk with Ken Bulkey from Sinbin Vegas in a bit, Colby. But I wanted to take a stab at this Western Power Rankings. We talked ad nauseum leading up to the deadline about this Western Conference arms race that was going to happen and how there were, you know, basically six legitimate cup contenders in the West, seven if you wanted to include the LA Kings as well, and they all seemed hungry to go out and make big splashes leading up to last Friday. And we kind of got that from every single team, but now that the dust has settled and we know what these rosters look like, I wanted to ask you, with the mindset of how these teams stack up in a best of seven series and how these rosters could potentially be built to go on a long playoff run, how would you rank the teams in the West one through seven, whatever we did?
So look, I'm appreciative of the fact that you put color to that. This is not who is the best team right now. And I just want to be clear about that. Tyler was very specific in his instructions. Night one of the playoffs with your roster, who's built to go. And that's where I had to put Vegas up at the top. I know they haven't played well lately. They're 3-6-1 in their last 10, but they're going to get Tomáš Hertl into that lineup eventually. Noah Hanifin will settle into his role. Jack Eichel, who missed considerable time, will continue to find his game. And I just think once you bring that whole team together, and who knows, will we see Mark Stone on opening night? We really don't know the answer to that. I think the Vegas Golden Knights sit there at the top. And then it kind of runs on down through. Now, to me, Colorado was an easy number two here. They really were. And when I got to three in Dallas, this is where it got tricky. And this is where I think Winnipeg could potentially have jumped Dallas. And maybe after last night, the way I was so impressed with how they played, they should be ahead of Dallas. But this is kind of how I see it going. I think it's interesting, Tyler, that you and I have the same three teams at the bottom in the same order, but our first four, while they're the same teams, are all completely out of order.
Yeah, I think it just shows you how close it is. For me, like, Dallas went out, and while they only made the one deadline move going and getting Chris Tanev, it was the only deadline move they needed. Like, they didn't go out there and just spend or add for the sake of adding. And I think what Tanev does to that blue line, the way Harley and Heiskanen have looked as a top pairing, now you have Tanev and Lindell as this true shutdown second pairing. I think that's legit. You look at the third line, Johnston, Stankoven, and Ben. Again, you want to talk about a line that could be a handful for the opposition in a best of seven series. Like, the speed and youth of Johnston and Stankoven out there with Jamie Benn, that'll be legit. So I had Dallas up at the top. They also have the goaltending box checked for me with Jake Oettinger. We've seen early in his career, at least, what he can do in a best of seven that year. He almost single-handedly beat the Flames before losing in game seven. So that's why I have Dallas still in my number one spot. Winnipeg gets a big bump for me simply because of Connor Hellebuyck. Vegas, I mean, listen, they've struggled to stay healthy this year, and we'll dig into Vegas a bit more with Ken Bulkey, but that's kind of my concern there. Everyone just keeps assuming that Martinez and Stone will be back at one point, and who knows if that's a guarantee. I think it's probably far from it to get both of them back. But let's talk about Edmonton and Vancouver out at the bottom, and maybe we'll zero in on Vancouver real quick. They're leading the division, and yet we both put them at six. I'd love to know your reasons as to why you have them so low, despite how good they've looked so far this season.
You know why? Because they don't play a real heavy brand of hockey. And I know they brought in Zadorov, or Zadorov, as we on Daily Faceoff sometimes refer to him as. But I just don't know how much it translates. And I also don't know how Quinn Hughes and Pettersson and Besser, these guys don't have big playoff track records. I've argued with Frank about this on my show as well, you know, on Morning Cup of Hockey, that I believe you need to learn how to win in the playoffs by losing. I truly believe that. And, you know, Frank challenged me on that and said, that's bullshit. And why do you think that? Well, because I've seen it. And that's why I think that. And we've seen it year after year. And I look at the way they play. They're a high-flying offense. They do have big-time goaltending. But I just, look, it's unproven. And these other teams just, to me, play heavier hockey. And heavy hockey translates in the playoffs. I think it's hurt Edmonton in past playoff runs when they've got stars. The rest of their lineup not able to play that heavy hockey style. And when the game gets physical and the ice feels like it starts shrinking in the playoffs, I'm just not sold on Vancouver as a top two or three team. And look, maybe I'll be wrong and we will find out for sure. What about you? Why you?
Yeah, for me, it's kind of a similar thing. Like, I know this is such an old school way of looking at it, but for a lot of those teams I put above them, they've won two or three playoff rounds over the last two or three years.
I don't think that's old school, by the way. I think that's reality.
And again, I look at that forward group. I know the high end, you got the Pettersson and the Miller. You went out and got a piece like Lindholm, although he hasn't exactly fit like a glove since coming to Vancouver. But I actually think that forward group, when you put it up against the Dallases, the Winnipegs, Colorados even, it's just not quite as deep. They're deep. I'm not saying they're shallow. I'm not saying they're going to struggle to get depth scoring or anything like that. But I just don't think it's got that little extra bit of a notch that a lot of these other teams do. And I think the Canucks recognize that with the way they acted at the deadline as well. We know they were pushing to make some more forward ads. They were in a lot of conversations and it didn't work out. So I think they got enough juice in the tank or gas in the tank to sit there and hold on to that top spot in the Pacific. But, you know, that could mean a first round matchup with right now, potentially the Vegas Golden Knights. And I expect them to climb a little bit too. Don't worry. But I think that Canucks team maybe still has some tough lessons they need to learn. Let's move along and head back out east, Colby, where the Boston Bruins were a team that had an interesting deadline. They add Pat Maroon to the bottom six. They go and made a puzzling deal for Andrew Peak out of Columbus as well. It's been an interesting year for them because on one hand, you look, 91 points in 67 games. That's legit. That's a really good team. And considering they lost Bergeron and Krejci over the summer, the fact that they've rebounded and still been this strong is impressive. But then you look at those 15 loser points and how hard those are propping them up. Colby, you don't get loser points in the playoffs. You just get straight L's. And I look at this Bruins team and I wonder, are they good enough to go on a run this year? Do they have the kind of roster that can win them a round or two?
So here's what I would say. There's a reason they try to move Ullmark to bring in major forward help. Okay. I mean, it's not a secret that Ullmark was offered to LA and Pierre-Luc Dubois was the piece coming back. Now, I do think they have goaltending as good as any team in the NHL. You look at this duo, it's undeniable. It's absolutely undeniable. But, you know, Derek Forbert was just announced to be out for the season. So I think Andrew Peak is that replacement for him. Still a weird signing, but I know Don Sweeney likes to have eight NHL-capable defensemen on his roster. I lived that for, you know, a couple of years as a prospect in that organization. Now, do I think this is a team that can go on a run? I don't, okay? I watch a lot of Boston Bruin hockey. I think they've got a lot of skill. Pasta. I think Charlie McAvoy is one of the best five defensemen in the NHL easily. I think he's a total gamer, but I think they've got holes. I think they've got depth issues. Their bottom six is not completely figured out. It's a constant rotation, which I think is a little bit unsettling going into the playoffs when you've got teams like Florida. And you know, you've got some of these other teams in the East that are pretty powerful teams. But I will say this, if they end up in a first round series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I think they could win a series. I really do. I think they could beat the Leafs. They play heavier than the Leafs. They play more structured than the Leafs, and they've got better goaltending than the Leafs. But I don't foresee them being an Eastern Conference final team this year, Tyler.
Yeah, I think if they beat the Leafs, it's more of a product of the Leafs also being a very subpar roster when you stack it up to other cup contenders around the league, even just in the Eastern Conference. I think it's clear cut in the East that it's Florida, New York, Carolina is that top tier. And then there's a gap to me, and the Bruins are in, they're below that gap, in my opinion. Let's talk a little bit of current events, Colby, in the Eastern Conference. Last night, Matt Rempe continued his rampage through the NHL. He is going to get a hearing today for this hit that he laid last night against the Devils, and we'll get a peek at it here for those of you watching on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. But an elbow to the head of Jonas Siegenthaler for Rempe, that angle, as bad as it looks from there, is almost flattering. The back angle here is the one where it's like, oh man, what are you thinking? Like,
well,
clear cut head contact. Are you defending him a bit?
No, I'm not going to defend it. It's clear cut head contact, but I want to give some context to what I see here in this play. Okay. I see a player who is going to finish his hit, and Siegenthaler pulls up, he shoots it, and then he kind of throws the brakes on a little bit. So Rempe, and again, we're watching it in slow motion, all right? Yeah. This is a split millimeter of a second decision. It's a bad hit. He deserves to five in a game. I believe he gets a two-game suspension. That's the number that I'm kind of thinking here. But I don't think it was an intentional goon headshot, because I believe that he's trying to finish his check. I believe Siegenthaler pulls up, and then he's trying to find any way to make contact. And I'm not saying that's okay. You got to keep your elbows down, especially when you're 6'8" like he is. So again, he deserves a suspension. He deserved a 5-minute major, but I've been arguing with people all day today that to me, it wasn't this egregious intent to injure type of check. It really wasn't, because remember, we're watching it in slow-mo. It's happening a lot faster. You're making these decisions in real time. One other thing I'll say about Matt Rempe from the game. He doesn't get an assist on the play, but he has an unbelievably good screen on the first goal for the New York Rangers, where he completely takes the goalie's eyes away and a wrist shot beats the goaltender from the point. So I don't particularly think this guy is going to play in the playoffs. I don't foresee him having some long career. I know it's a lot of fun for New York Rangers fans right now. But at the end of the day, again, I'm not looking at this like it was his intent to injure, like I think a lot of people are.
Curtis McDermott, Devils defenseman, was fired up after the game. Rempe doing the little waving thing as the game misconduct came in. McDermott said there's a right way to go about things and a wrong way. Quote, I lost a lot of respect for him tonight. Is this Rempe thing maybe going a little bit too far? Again, the first couple of games, it was fun. It's this new kid. Yeah. He's trying to establish himself in the league. Do you agree with McDermott? Do you think Rempe maybe needs to be turned down just a little bit?
Well, I think Rempe should have fought McDermott last night. I do think that, because he was asking him all game. And if you're only playing 5 minutes a night and that's how you're contributing, well, that's what you need to do. So I didn't love that he wouldn't fight McDermott. Now, that's McDermott's only job. He plays 3 or 4 minutes a night. I actually played with McDermott's older brother in the American League in Boston, and he was tough as nails, too. He ended up quitting hockey because he hated it and he hated fighting, and that's what they wanted him to do. I know that's a little side tangent, but I wouldn't say I lost respect for him on last night, because, again, I'm not looking at that hit as an intent to injure, but I wouldn't say that I'm jumping on this bandwagon as much as everybody else. Johnny Lazarus on my show yesterday said he completely changed the identity of the New York Rangers, which I think is an insane overreach for a team that's been in first place the entire season.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, we ran a little bit late here. It's time to get to our big segment for the day and bring in Ken Bulkey from Sin Bin Vegas. The All 32 is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Dash that for the win. And let DoorDash handle the cooking here on a beautiful Tuesday evening. Lots of hockey on, too. Just sit back, watch the hockey. Let DoorDash bring you dinner tonight. Ken Bulkey from Sin Bin Vegas, always a pleasure to have you on the show. And considering how busy the Vegas Golden Knights were over the last week or so, this is a nice time to catch up again. When you look at the Golden Knights, how aggressive they were in this deadline period, it kind of was coupled with some struggles on the ice. They had this little bit of a rough patch. Do you think that rough patch was a signal to the front office that, hey, we need to change the things up a little bit if we want to repeat? Or do you think they were always going to be this aggressive?
So they specifically said, no, it was not. We are planning on doing what we were planning on doing. However, I don't think they were planning on buying a defenseman. I think you're right in that they were trying to be very aggressive. The plan was, we need to buy some pieces for now and the future. Hanifin's probably a guy they're going to keep in the future. Hurdle's a guy they certainly have in the future. But I think as they saw the defense kind of deteriorating, they're like, oh boy, maybe we should look down that path as much as we're looking down the forward or the winger path. And that's how they end up with Hanifin, I think. But they definitely claim that this was the plan all along, that they were going to be very aggressive and that they couldn't allow. And it was a loss the night before. That was a bad one. They're like, we're not going to allow that to change it. I do think that's fair. I just think the direction they went may have shifted a little bit over the past maybe month.
Ken, I know that Bruce Cassidy is generally beloved by media members in every market that he goes. I played 4 years for the guy. And it's funny, when him and I talked about Miramanov last year in Chicago, he said he saw some of the similarities in the relationship and the way he was trying to develop Miramanov at the NHL level. But my question, it is surrounding Bruce Cassidy. And I think it's no secret that I think Bruce has to win and has to win now, because I think his coaching style can wear players down pretty quickly. It happened in Boston, happened in the American League, happened a long time ago in Washington. Do you think that plays into why they're so aggressively going for Stanley Cups? Because they know they have one of the best coaches in hockey, period. But I do think his window is smaller than some guys' windows may be.
I think they're aware of that. I think they know that over time this could become a problem. And we've already started to see a little bit of it here. Like Alec Martinez wasn't particularly playing very well, and they still go with Zach Whitecloud as the one that's benched. It tends to always be the younger guy that finds his way out of the roster for whatever reason. I think everybody knows what the reason there is. That's just the way Bruce Cassidy does it. I would not necessarily say, though, that that's why they've been so aggressive. If you look back through their history, like, they were right there in the first year, and it's like, well, throw every pick we have to get Tomáš Tatar. That didn't work, and they immediately turned that around to go get Max Pacioretty, eventually Mark Stone. Like, they have been very aggressive with three different coaches now. I think there is just a belief that we are close, we are going to continue to be close, and they've used the deadline in a way that not a lot of other teams have. They've used the deadline for their long-term future way more than we've seen from most teams. Mark Stone's a great example. Now, Tomáš Hertl, Noah Hanifin, we expect to have the extension. Ivan Barbashev last year. Like, they use it as the time to buy the long-term player and get that extra playoff run.
When you look at the work they did around the deadline, and if I would have told you, let's say a month ago, hey, Mantha, Hertl, mind-blowing, and then Hanifin, and Brendan Brisson and the 2024 first rounder stay in their possession, how big of a win is that as well? Because making that pick and keeping a young roster piece like Brisson, that feels like a massive victory.
I think if Brendan were a little bit better this season on the ice, it might feel a little bit more that way. I don't really see a huge difference between maybe the Brisson or Edstrom and the 2025 pick, as far as the Golden Knights go, they're probably not going to use it. Keeping the 24 pick is interesting because I have this sneaking suspicion that it was just off limits because of where the draft is, that probably the league, Foley, everybody's like, hey, we're doing this thing in this wild giant LED ball. You can't not have a pick. All right, fine. We'll keep it. And everyone was on there. I agree with you that it probably is a win to have those players. I just want, or that that pick and the extra player. I just wonder what value is Brisson going to have moving forward? Were we at his peak at his value now based on him having a few points, having a few games under his belt? If he then goes an entire season next year and doesn't have as good of a season, or he hasn't really done all that much, if it does go downward, is that actually less valuable at next deadline than it was now? That's what I'm interested in, because you look at the cupboard and there's two first round picks for 14 years there. It's not quite accurate, but 14 picks. They had a couple extra ones, but they have just two left through 2026. And that goes all the way back to 2017, where they had two extras. So they've given up a lot of first round picks.
And another thing that's kind of become whatever, a way people look at the Golden Knights, is that they're cutthroat, right? There isn't really that huge sense of loyalty in a lot of cases. Marc-Andre Fleury always pops into my mind when I think about that. When you look at this upcoming summer now, a bit of a bigger picture question, you have Hurdle now with term, pretty decent cap hit. There's talk about the extension for Hanifin. What does that mean for the futures of Chandler Stephenson and Jonathan Marchessault? Is the writing potentially on the wall here? Or do you think the Golden Knights have a chance to keep them in the mix even with all these ads?
I definitely think the writing's on the wall to a certain degree. Like, they are going to have maybe $6 to $7 million. And as you put up there on the screen there, you're also seeing Pavel Dorofeev is going to probably be in the $1 million range. That one they're not going to let go, so that ticks another million off. I would be surprised if they don't want to at least keep Michael Amadio around. He's kind of turning into this like weird mini Mark Stone. Most people don't think of Michael Amadio as a pretty darn good defensive guy and an unbelievable stick, but he has it. So you don't just want to let that guy walk out the door. So the question becomes, how do they use this summer to buy more cap? That's what they've done most of these other summers. It's like, just pick a guy, throw him out the window. We'll take nothing in return except for the cap space. And that allows them a little bit more room. Like, is that another one of these defensemen? Do they go crazy and go with a bigger forward, which would be somebody off the board there to keep Marchessault around? I get the suspicion they view Stephenson a little bit higher than Marchessault because of the age, because of the fact that he plays center. The Golden Knights fan base, myself, do not agree. If Jonathan Marchessault is not on this team next year, it is an absolute travesty. It is a disaster. The man is the Golden Knights. You cannot just let him walk out the building 1 year off the Conn Smythe, and don't put it past him to win it again. He's got 35 goals. Like, he might be the back-to-back Conn Smythe winner. There's no way he cannot be a Golden Knight. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
I love the TV 12, by the way. Wear that in front of Bruce Cassidy. He'll love that.
Oh, I do it all the time. I do it all the time. He's never mentioned it, but he is unaware that I am on the Tampa side of the TV 12, not the Boston side. But that's okay. The greatest of all time is the greatest of all time. He delivered me one. You guys got your six. I'm good. I'll take my one.
Ken Bulkey from Sin Bin Vegas, man. It's always fun having you on the show. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Great chat there. Let's move on to our daily face-off inbox question, #AskDFO. It's brought to you by Tourism Jasper. Still some time to enjoy winter in the Rockies. Spring skiing season is absolutely elite. Head to jasper.travel for more information. Colby, let's head over to the YouTube chat where Neil is in. He wants to know, any underdog teams that you think have a chance to make a splash in the playoffs? A team that maybe you see as a potential Florida 2.0. And obviously, okay, you got to talk about teams in the wildcard mix, teams maybe just on the outside of that. So Detroit, the Islanders, the Capitals, the Devils, if they were to get in out west, I think it's mainly just Nashville. Any of those threats to catch lightning in a bottle this spring?
I mean, the one team that you can really never call an underdog, but is at least in the bottom of the standings in the East, would be Tampa Bay, because Vasilevsky could get hot. I know that that's not really what you're asking because I'm talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning, but you know, I think the difference for me this year with the top teams, Tyler, is they play heavy. Like the Boston Bruins last year, they weren't a heavy team. They played fast, north, south, up and down the ice, but they weren't super heavy. So maybe Tampa, like I'm reaching there, but I think this year we're going to see who we think we're going to see in the final four of the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, if the playoffs started today, and I know it's very early to be playing this game, but it would be a Rangers Lightning first round of the playoffs, which would be a hell of a series. There are a lot of potential intriguing matchups that could play out here. Still, you know, whatever, 17 to 8 to 20 more games left for a lot of these teams. Let's move along to our Betano Daily Bets for the day. The game starts now at Betano.ca. Just one play for me tonight, Colby, and it is the Minnesota Wild to cover the puck line against the Arizona Coyotes. Just 3 wins in their last 10 for the Coyotes. They are struggling. They are also a terrible road team. 10-18-5. So 10-23 straight up on the road. You compare that to Minnesota. They're only 500 at home, but I like them to roll a little bit of positive momentum over 100%. From that big win against the Preds. We talked about that yesterday. I think that's going to galvanize that team on home ice, playing a quite frankly, bad opponent who sold off pieces at the deadline. I like Mini to win by 2 or more tonight. Colby, what do you think?
I'm riding with you on that one. I think John Hines made a potential save the season decision, and they should have a huge response in Minnesota tonight.
Let's wrap up the show with a little bit of garbage time. It's brought to you by Wendy's and the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. I had myself a Baconator last night for dinner. If you want to get Wendy's, you can be a winner at lunchtime, regardless of how you're doing in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. These are your options for tonight. Colby, I won yesterday, so I'm feeling a little bit of pressure here. I got to pick something for this evening. And honestly, I don't know where I'm going to go. Maybe Dallas over 3.5 goals. That feels like a decent spot. Who are they playing?
You know what, though, Tyler? I was going to say Tippett. The Flyers need this win. They're at home. They're playing San Jose or Kaprizov. Again, we just talked about that galvanizing moment. I like both those guys to score tonight.
Oh, man. Colorado under 0.5 a power play goal. They're playing Calgary. No, that doesn't seem likely. It's a tough one. It's a tough slate over in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. Our garbage time for today, Colby. 4 years ago today, the NHL took their COVID-19 pause. And it's kind of funny to sit back and think about what your mindset was in the moment. It was like, oh man, are games going to be canceled for a week? Do they just need a couple of days to get some policies in place? Is there a chance the games go on with no fans for a while, Colby? Do you remember where you were when this news came down?
I just remember that my wife and I caught the last flight from the Bahamas back to the United States. We were in the Bahamas on a little trip and literally had to change our flight, get on a quick get home back to Philadelphia. And as we know, the world was never the same again.
Yeah, I remember I was out at a bar watching the Oilers play the Jets that night with some buddies, and I got the news on my phone during the Oilers game. And then going into the third period, we were all like, whoa, this could be the last time we see the Oilers play for like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Like, this is crazy. And then, you know, little did we know how things would play out, but not great milestone, but an interesting moment to look back on in the history of the league and the world. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. Colby and I back at it tomorrow at noon Eastern. Big shout out to everyone in the YouTube and to our guy, Ken Bulkey from Sin Bin Vegas for joining us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll chat with you again on Wednesday.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.